Let's turn in the Bible together to 1 Corinthians chapter 1. You'll find that on page 1128 in the Pew Bible. 1 Corinthians chapter 1, reading verses 1 through 9. There's a sermon notes available for you in the bulletin to take some notes, so hopefully be able to track with me as we study the Word of God in 1 Corinthians 1. Paul planted a church in the city of Corinth and is following up with answering questions that the Corinthian Christians had. And he writes more than likely in about 50 A.D. to this church in a lot of trouble. But he opens in a surprising way. When you read through Corinthians, you're like, it's almost like the Jerry Springer show. It's weird, right? It's a mess. There's so many sinners and so much sin in this congregation, but surprisingly, the Apostle Paul says, I thank God for you and the grace of God given to you. So we're supposed to be seeing ourselves and our congregation in the life of Corinth, but also how to respond one to another with these greetings of the Apostle Paul. 1 Corinthians chapter 1, beginning at verse 1, let's hear God's Word and let's receive it with believing hearts. This is the Word of the Lord. Paul, called to be an apostle of Christ Jesus by the will of God, and our brother Sosthenes, to the church of God in Corinth, to those sanctified in Christ Jesus and called to be holy, together with all those everywhere who call on the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, their Lord and ours, grace and peace to you from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. I always thank God for you because of His grace given you in Christ Jesus. For in Him you have been enriched in every way in all your speaking and in all your knowledge because of our testimony about Christ was confirmed in you. Therefore, you do not lack any spiritual gift as you eagerly wait for our Lord Jesus Christ to be revealed. He will keep you strong to the end so that you will be blameless on the day of our Lord Jesus Christ. God, who has called you into fellowship with His Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord, is faithful. So far, the reading of God's Word, and may He add His blessing to it. Please keep the Bible open and handy for the message on A Surprising Start. The congregation of Christ, brothers, sisters, and Lord, who killed Mars Hill Church? It's a podcast I listened to a couple of months ago, and the answer was, we all did. If you're familiar at all, maybe I'll just share with you the story of Mars Hill. It's one of the largest churches in the United States of America. It's one of the largest church planting movements in the history of America, pastored by Mark Driscoll. And as the podcast narrates their story of how God really did amazing works in saving sinners from the gutters of sin and unbelief, and yet, nevertheless, that church imploded. It just melted down in just a couple of decades. And why was that? Well, it turned into a toxic, a dangerous environment, even though there was a lot of youth. There was kind of a celebrity cult that took over. And again, who killed Mars Church? We all did, according to that podcast. And congregation, the church at Corinth was killing itself. It was really committing spiritual suicide. And yet the Apostle Paul is saying, look, we're all at fault here. You're all at fault, but I want to write to you and I want to answer your questions. But what you need to grasp first and foremost is the grace of God given to you. And that's the solution. And that's what Paul is doing. He's writing with thanksgiving. You and I might want to just kind of throw out, this verbal drone strike Would you please just get your act together? Stop it for crying out loud. Right? And look me up in 6 months, and if you've cleaned up your act, then I'll talk to you and give you some answers to your questions. That's not how the Apostle Paul pastors God's people, and that's not how we should be encouraging one another, is it? The Apostle Paul thanks God for a church in trouble. And we first of all want to see that he sent to this church. And then secondly, we want to see how this church, even with all of its troubles, is sanctified. And yes, there's another rest coming. This is a church sustained by the grace of God, the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. First of all, the Apostle Paul is sent to this church that's in a lot of trouble. Paul called to be an apostle, literally a sent one of Christ Jesus our Lord, by the will of God. What does it mean to be an apostle of Jesus Christ? It means to be sent by the Lord. So Paul speaks the words of our Lord Jesus Christ. This is what it means to be an apostle. He saw the Lord Jesus Christ on the road to Damascus. And one of the most unlikely of sinners to be saved was saved by Jesus Christ, the great apostle, sent to save him and to save sinners. And now Jesus has sent Paul to plant the church in Corinth and has now sent him officially to speak. Why is that important? Well, the Corinthians were saying, "Oh, yeah, Paul, that's nice, Paul, but that's just your opinion. I am of Apollos. I am of Peter." There's a celebrity cult going on in the church at Corinth. And so Paul is saying, "I'm coming to you with encouragement, but I'm going to have to give you some stern correction too. So listen, not to me as the man, listen to the message that comes to you from your Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ." And I write this together with our brother Sosthenes. And Sosthenes is more than likely Paul's secretary who wrote this letter out and then had it, you know, compiled and sent out to the church at Corinth. And Sosthenes was another unlikely convert. In the footnotes or in the study Bible, the NIV study Bible I have in front of me, reminds us that Sosthenes was more than likely the leader of the synagogue in that area. And in Acts chapter 18, we see that there was a great mob, that he was beaten up for being a Christian. But God did this surprising, amazing work in Sosthenes' life. One of the most unlikely people, you would think. It would have been seemingly, humanly speaking, impossible for God to save Saul and Paul, but also Sosthenes. So Paul is giving thanks that he is sent, more on that a moment for you and me, but he's sent by our Lord Jesus Christ together with Sosthenes to speak thanksgiving for a church in trouble. And then he says, look, you are a church of God in Corinth, sanctified. You see that in verse 2 of the text. The church of God, the ecclesia is the Greek word, the called out ones assembled in Corinth, gathered together. And so as they are sanctified, dear friends, that's an important word throughout the book of 1 Corinthians. There is hope and holiness for sinning saints like them and like us. Hope and holiness, that's the big idea for this church in Corinth. Welcome to Corinth. It was Sin City, and the Corinthians were a mess, right? They're really newborn Christians. I mean, maybe months old in the faith, and they need to be unlearning, like we all do, unlearning the olden days and the olden ways of our B.C., before Christ, lifestyles and beliefs. There's all kinds of false religions in Corinth. There's all kinds of idol worshippers. Aphrodite is the sex god worshipped in Corinth. There's this great big temple dedicated to Aphrodite. And the Corinthians are a mess. So 50 AD, picture probably about 100 Christians in a city of 50,000 pagans. That's the city of Corinth. Picture, it's like L.A., Las Vegas, New York City, all rolled up into one. That is Corinth. And these Corinthians, as they're unlearning, slowly, baby steps, right? Maybe a step forward, a step back, as it were. They're full of all kinds of troubles. You read through the book of 1 Corinthians, and they're a moral mess. And what do we mean? I mean, people are drunk at communion. There's incest. There's Christians visiting prostitutes. And there's that cult of celebrity, cult of personality going on. There's all kinds of fighting and bickering. Christians are creating dissension, and it's this big mess. And Paul says, however, to this church that in many respects is so unholy, you are holy. You are sanctified in Christ Jesus, and then called to be holy. Holiness really is the church's identity. It's your identity and mine. It's a gift that God gives us in His grace, and it's a privilege for us, as well as a responsibility to carry out by God's grace and all for His praise. But it's certainly our identity, but it is also ultimately our destiny. That is the hope we have. You are considered set apart, pure, in the holy eyes of God. Not because you're so moral, or I am, nor were they, but because God is faithful. Faithful is the Lord who has promised. And so, dear friends, as the Corinthians and as we do struggle with holiness, the holiness of staying one in the Lord, being unified in the gospel, exercising that partnership and fellowship, not just as individuals on islands, but as the army of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, we can often become discouraged and disappointed, can't we? But we are the Church of God in Pompton Plains, New Jersey, sanctified, set apart to be holy together with all those who call everywhere, who call in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, our Lord, your Lord, my Lord. Aphrodite is not your Lord or mine. Jesus Christ is Lord of our lives. So how big are you? How big are we? When people ask you that question, oh, we're millions here at Pompton Plains. We call on the name of the Lord Jesus Christ together with everyone and everywhere throughout the nations of the earth. Dear friends, when we're looking at each other, fighting and bickering, we got to look up and look out and look to Jesus Christ and the church as wide as the world. And realize we've been set apart to serve the Lord. Why do I say that? Because as I read a couple of months ago, quote, to live above with saints we love, oh, that will be glory. But to live below with saints we know, well, that's a different story, isn't it? It's a different story. It's hard to be one in holiness. As we sin against one another, we often lose our patience with each other. And all we can see are all of the troubles. Now we need to see how Jesus Christ defines us. How Jesus labels your brothers and sisters. What's more important is that we are sanctified in Christ Jesus. So grace and peace to you from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. And Paul gives three reasons then why he's so thankful. Three reasons for thanksgiving. And those three reasons are really, you know, just maybe summarized in the good news that God does sustain His church. And that's the last lesson here for us. And Paul is thanking God for grace. I always, not just some of the times, most of the time, he's always thanking God for you, because of His grace given you in Christ Jesus. For in Him you've been enriched in every way, in all your speaking, in all of your knowledge. That's the first reason why Paul gives thanks. And let us give thanks to God for one another. Jesus Christ, by His Spirit, has enriched us. He enriches the Corinthians with wisdom and knowledge, with the gifts of speech. Right? The tongue-speaking controversy comes up. And they have the charismata. They are really charismatic Christians, in the biblical sense of that word. And so are we. We're gifted. And that's why Paul gives thanks. In spite of all of the setbacks and struggles among the Corinthians, they are enriched. And that's why Paul gives thanks to God. And he's thankful for the grace of God that is preparing them for the future, even now. Our testimony about Christ was confirmed in you. You don't lack any spiritual gift. You got it all. You have it all in Jesus Christ our Lord. Did you notice, boys and girls, how many times in these verses, how many times, count them, do you read Jesus Christ? How many? I'll give you a second. There's 9 verses here. The name of Jesus Christ comes up 9 times. What's the big deal? Dear friends, that's the solution. He's always the answer. For Paul, Jesus is absolutely everything. Is He everything to you and to me? And Paul will go on there in 1 Corinthians 1. You know, read it later on for homework this week. Later on, he's going to say, you Corinthians, you're all divided. You're fighting like cats and dogs. And he says, look, is Christ divided? He's like, did I baptize you? Don't treat me like a celebrity pastor. Don't treat Peter that way or Apollos either. Don't treat us as somehow above one another. We are simply servants of the Lord Jesus Christ. So don't let a cult of personality about pastors divide you up in order to ruin the ongoing mission of making disciples of Jesus Christ here in Sin City. You have a problem? Jesus Christ is always the solution. He's the answer for every single trouble in the church and in your marriage and mine, in our families and our relationships, and certainly within the nation in which we live. Paul is thankful for grace. And dear friends, it's important for us to constantly talk about grace. Sing about grace. Hear sermons about grace, the grace that is in Christ Jesus our Lord, and see it on display as Paul tenderly and with great affection thanks God for Christians in a whole bunch of trouble. Paul was thankful for grace that in Jesus Christ is uniting His people, keeping them strong to the very, very end, to the end of the age, to the end of their lives. Why? Because God is faithful. Literally in the Bible it says, faithful is God. He front ends the faithfulness of God for a people that were so faithless. They were full of so much unbelief. Because as they looked at their lives, as we do, and we look around us at one another, we think, what? Do we even have a shot at this? Are we going to finish well? Are we just going to be imploding and melting down? Yeah, congregations may close, but the church of our Lord Jesus Christ is enriched, it's united, and it's sustained by the mighty hand of Jesus Christ Himself. Because on that day of days, He will keep you strong to the end. So that in verse 8, you will be blameless on the day of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Why? Because you're faithful? No, ultimately because faithful is God. faithful is God in Jesus Christ our Lord, that as we call on the name of Jesus, we have the full assurance of faith that on that last day, as Jesus Christ will let every single person who ever lived run past Him for inspection day. He will not see, when you call in the name of Jesus Christ as your Savior and Lord, He will not see all of your dirty or my disgusting, revolting, horrific, horrible sins. He won't see you clothed in your rags of rebellion against God or mine. He'll see you clothed in the seamless robe of His innocence, of His perfection. You will stand, my dear brothers and sisters, guiltless because of the life Jesus lived for you, the death that Jesus died for you. So wherever He goes, you go. It's just like when you're on a roller coaster, right? You can be on the last cart, but wherever that first cart goes, right, up, 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 and down, you're going to follow. So wherever Jesus Christ went, He stands, right, innocent of all charges, justified by Father in heaven on that last day. And you can no more be unjustified, kicked out of heaven, than our Lord Jesus Christ can. God is faithful to you. Even in all of the troubles, when we get stuck in sin sometimes. And so, my brothers and sisters, what are some of the applications for us? How do we live this out together as those who have been sanctified in Christ Jesus, living, as it were, more and more in a city that's a lot like Corinth? America is more and more like Corinth than ever before. Well, dear friends, first of all, application number one for you and for me is remember God's blessings and give thanks. What's the favorite strategy of Satan? It's to make you forget. To make you forget the grace of God in Christ Jesus our Lord. To distract us and attract us in so many ways. If we are forgetting, if we are not consciously, right, intentionally remembering the mercy of God in our lives, then, dear friends, we are contributing to the meltdown of this congregation. So let us remember. Let us give thanks to God. How do you do that? It means that we're regularly thanking God for His work of grace in our lives and thanking God for His work of grace in the lives of one another. We're seeing that grace. And that's what keeps us going, advancing. So the day when we stand guiltless on the day of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, our Lord, we remember that it was impossible. It was absolutely impossible, humanly speaking, for Kevin Hossing to be saved. For you to be saved. You are the most unlikely, like Paul, and I am too, the most unlikely, like Sosthenes. And yet the grace of God pierced your heart and mine, giving us a voice to cry out and call on the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. And He saved you and me, sanctifying us to be holy. So, dear friends, we need to remember the story that Jesus Christ has written in His writing and will write and complete in your life and mine. And He is faithful. He will complete the good work that He has begun in Christ Jesus our Lord. So look out in the horizon. Have hope as you remember. Don't ever forget. The grace of God that calls keeps you. Keeps you because Christ cannot lose you. If you're a Christian, Christ cannot lose hold of you. So you will, Christian, you will experience that the war has been won. The race you are running and faint and fall at times, so do I, that race will be run. The job will be done. You'll stand perfect before the eyes of a holy God, because faithful is your Lord. And dear friends, always remember that this grace of God comes to you in the Lord Jesus Christ. He is the faithful prophet, priest, and king. And just one encouragement for you and for me. Do you have, and for our congregations, do you have a prodigal son? Do you have a prodigal daughter? Do you have a grandchild that's allergic to the grace of God in Jesus Christ? Be encouraged that there is no one who prays harder for your runaway than Jesus Christ does. Remember that. And then, dear friends, secondly, as we conclude, help each other. Help each other. Notice God's grace. It can start right here and now, right at Coffee Fellowship. Don't wait any longer. Point out, pay attention, and help others see the grace of God you see in them, that they may be encouraged to serve our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, because they got it all, so do you, by the Spirit of Pentecost, enriched in every way, enriched with what? You are and I am, to open up our mouths to be sent by the Lord Jesus Christ to each other and to Sin City all around us. That there's a Jesus who is faithful, who equips, enriches, who encourages. So, dear friends, may God sanctify our speech and season our words with our gospel grace to build one another up, to inspire one another. Have you become more like Jesus than you were 2 years ago? You are called to be holy and to practice and pursue Christian holiness. And the thing of it is, I don't always see it in my life. You don't see it in your life. We see very little progress. But as all of us look through the eyes of our faithful Savior Jesus Christ, we see glimpses of that progressive holiness, that progressive Christ-likeness in each other's lives. And we need to point that out to one another. Dear friends, as we look at our lives, we shake our heads. Are we ever going to make it? Will the Church of Jesus Christ be like Mars Hill? Thanks be to God. We remember and we give thanks together that the God of grace has sent Jesus Christ to be our Savior, who sanctifies us and will sustain us to the very end of our lives, to the end of the age. Why? Because faithful is our God. Amen. Let us pray. Father in heaven, as we look around at ourselves, especially even one another at times, we wonder how in the world could we ever have been called and sanctified to be your church here at Pompton Plains. But Lord, as we look up and look out at our faithful Savior, Jesus Christ, and into your word, we rejoice and give you all the thanks. No thanks to us. All thanks be to you, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, that we have been enriched, we've been redeemed, we've been sanctified to stand guiltless, all because of the righteousness of Jesus Christ credited to us on that day of days when we see our Savior face to face. And so, Lord, we ask that by your Spirit you would make us strong in your strength to press on, to be sent as you send us out, to remember and always rejoice in who we are, remembering where we've been and where we are ultimately going. Lord, please heal our eyesight. So often clouded by the cataracts of bitterness, of unbelief, of impatience, to see and notice the evidences of your grace in one another's lives, so that we may open up our mouths and encourage others. Lord, for all of our problems personally, and our marriages, our families, and our congregations, as sinners on the way home, Lord, help us to always realize Jesus is everything, that He is the answer and the solution for all of our questions and all of our many, many problems. So, Lord, in Sin City, we pray that you'd use us to win many for Jesus Christ. We ask your Father in heaven that you would bless us as we offer to you our gifts, that you would hear and answer our prayers, and help us to work out what you have worked in us by your word. In the name of our faithful Savior, Jesus Christ, amen.